Hello, this is Paramjit Singh. Welcome to another episode of Passing Clouds. Imagine the duration of about 100 milliseconds. That's about 1/10 of a second. And I suspect by the time you have comprehended this statement, that time has passed. That's about the length of time it takes for the brain to start figuring out the gender or the color of someone. Add to this equation biases, personal tendencies, social rules, learning, cultural conditioning, and it becomes a whole different game of decision making. Why it is relevant, you might be wondering. It is relevant because some of the important decisions are often subconsciously triggered and then consciously rationalized, which means that we make decisions and then try to retrofit through certain procedure. And this kind of mechanism could have a serious implications at an organizational level, which is trying to build trust, hiring someone, firing someone. It can have a huge implication in perception of competence or incompetence while scouting for the best talent, law enforcement, social rules, policy building, and access to resources. Since most of the decision making happens within the split second, it is relevant for us to uncover some of these biases which can corrupt our decision making process. It's easier to say that we should not have biases, but that's the hardest thing to do since some of our biases are deeply embedded into the machinery of our decision making. Consider this. When we look at unfamiliar faces or their colors, threat circuits of our brain automatically gets activated. This would be useful if we are in a lonely place staring at a hungry tiger. These threat-related triggers would empower us in fighting the enemy or make a run for life. However, this becomes a liability and has a different impact when we are just interacting with someone who looks different, acts different, and behaves different. When others don't fit into our mental schema of anything familiar, we are more likely to act prematurely and maybe in a worse way. Unfamiliar is stressful and generates fear. And these states heavily impact the way we choose to decide and act. And within varying probabilities and possibilities, this fear of unfamiliar bleeds into whatever we do, from hiring someone to firing someone to firing a gun or making a policy decision for employees. Add to this equation the impact of perceived power. If you are in a powerful position, it is very likely, and as the research indicates, that you will have a less empathetic perspective about the powerless. So as our decision making is driven by all these subconscious triggers, what can we do to interrupt these automatic influences on decision making process? Can we do it through intellectual reframing, rearranging our thought process, mentally making effort to not be biased, or something else needs to be done? Now, this is relevant to think this way because some of the biases can be mitigated through intellectual interventions, especially biases which are related to learned behaviors. Unfortunately, other biases which stem from deeper issues such as implicit bias is not very responsive to intellectual interventions. However, they can be responsive to awareness-based, also called metacognitive or meta-intellectual strategies such as mindfulness. And the mindfulness often offers a way of working through decision-making process through the steps of attending, acknowledging, or allowing, and not reacting. And this can afford us a powerful mechanism to shift our relationship to these deeper biases before they hijack our decision-making process. Studies indicate that practice of mindfulness meditation tends to tamp down self-positivity bias, a bias which somehow allows us to think of us as better than others. So when that self-positivity bias is reduced to some extent, we start to consider others as equal, and that can have a huge implication the way we interact with others and the way we look at others and behave with them and construct policies in relation to them. It also helps to reduce the discriminatory actions stemming from learned and cultural conditioning. Since mindfulness is all about attending and acknowledging and not relating to the experience in a way we have done before, these systematic efforts can dismantle some of these deep-set biases, in fact, our decision-making process. And mindfulness also can reduce the bias and fear-generated automatic response. It could have a positive impact on the way law enforcement agencies interact with individuals of colors and racialized minorities. For example, it has been shown in research that when primed with images of black faces, white individuals tend to mistake harmless objects such as camera or cell phone as a weapon. In one of the studies related to mindfulness meditation, it was suggested that individuals made more effort while identifying weapon in comparison to the group where no such intervention was offered. That could make a big difference if a law enforcement agent is trying to respond to a threat, and if he or she can identify whether that threat is perceived or misperceived, that could be a matter of life and death. Mindfulness practice also has been indicated to encourage moral reasoning and ethical decision making. It purports that some of the moral failures and ethical failures stem from lack of awareness. And because mindfulness encourages non-judgmental self-awareness over the period of time, it can bleed into moral and ethical reasoning. And this could help leaders build a diverse and equitable organizations. Beyond bottom line, diverse organizations are a lot more robust, resilient, and innovative. So as we have seen, our decision-making process is highly complex and subject to deeply embedded biases related to learning, culture, and social rules. Some of those biases can be influenced or positively influenced through cognitive strategies, through intellectual thinking process, but most of the deep-set biases requires a different kind of intervention, the intervention which allows us to rise above the biases and impact them accordingly. Systematic mindfulness practice can help us in neutralizing some of these biases to make the decision-making process more robust and responsive. If you're interested in learning basic nuts and bolts of mindfulness practice, check out our website, paramjeetsingh.com, or visit some of the previous podcasts we have done in this relation. See if you can once again imagine the duration of around 100 milliseconds. How little that time is, and how brain is efficiently picks up the information. It doesn't take for us to make decision, but that decision can have a far-reaching consequences at a personal, professional, social, and moral level. See if you can fine-tune your decision-making process by actively engaging in a process which allows you to see things much clearly and much efficiently. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share, and like the content. Thank you very much for spending your time with me.